This is our number
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to the Fastest 15. And Sean, I'm very excited. We're going to have a cancel update in the Fastest 15 here.
Oh, lovely.
Can you pull that together for us?
Sure thing.
Okay, I love it. I love it. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, I have a question for you, my listener. Not just my listener, my beloved listener. I played a clip on the show yesterday, and I started thinking about it. And I wanted to just have you send in, text me your answers to this. Because I get very frustrated with parents who let their kids get away with all kinds of nonsense. There was a story about a 14-year-old kid down in Arizona. He took his parents' car for a joyride just because he felt like it. And what the parents did to him. So let me play for you a little bit of the news story.
I don't have like a license to, so I just took it.
A joyride in his parents' Range Rover turns into a lesson 14-year-old Angel Martinez won't soon forget.
I washed the car, like hand wash, and I was like, I don't have anything to dry it, so like I'm just going to like take it for like one spin. So, like, it dries.
Angel was speeding in his North Phoenix neighborhood, disrupting his neighbors, all while his parents celebrated their anniversary in Vegas. Then a call from the cops.
By the way, if you're celebrating your anniversary in Vegas and you get this call from the police department, that's a buzzkill.
Driving the vehicle, please slow down. That was a residential area with lots of family and children and pets. It's just not worth getting into a bad accident.
Their son had been in trouble a few times before with no other options. It was time to clean house, and they did.
Well, we got back to the house today. We took all his stuff out. His room is 100% empty, and we're just giving all his stuff away.
And they did. I won't play the rest of the story. But as punishment, the kid had a TV in his room. He had some other electronics. He had a nice bedroom set. They gave it all away. They put it out on the lawn. They invited the neighbors, said, we're sorry our son disrupted you by joyriding. Take anything of his you want. It's yours. And the kid is now going to have to sleep on a bare floor in a sleeping bag, or maybe he could sleep on the sofa in the living room. But his room is empty. All of his possessions are gone. Mom and dad gave it all away. And the kid said, yeah, this is a pretty good lesson. I'm not going to do that again. And it made me wonder, what creative punishment did you ever use on your kids or your parents used on you that turned out to be pretty darn effective? And you see, I was, both my wife and I, do not believe in spanking. I don't condemn those who spank. I just personally, I always thought that spanking was more about the anger of the parent than correcting the child. And plus, just the idea of smacking your kid. I've told the story. I had a friend when I was a kid, one of my closest friends. And he would do something wrong during the day, and his mom would call his dad at work, and then mom would say, you're going to get a whipping when your dad gets home. And that'd be, you know, like 11 o'clock in the morning. And I don't, you know, for whatever small transgression it was. And one day, we're outside playing, summer afternoon. We're probably about, 10 years old, maybe. We're outside playing, having a good time, playing wiffle ball, and all of a sudden, it's 3 o'clock, 3:34, his mood just starts to darken. He just starts to get sullen, and 5:15, dad's car pulls into the driveway, and this kid just looked awful. And I was in the house with him, and Dad makes him go across the room to the closet, grab my belt, and then in front of me, a friend, an outsider, whips his son with a belt. It is so degrading, especially in front of your friend. But also, that was the day. I was 10 years old. That was the day when I said, I will never spank my kids. I don't want them to start getting a sick feeling as it's getting closer and closer to Dad getting home. That's not how you build a healthy relationship. Now, I know a lot of people disagree with me on that, and you're never going to change my mind, and I'm not even going to try to change yours. I'm not against it for other people. I just personally am an absolutist against spanking. So anyway, the only punishment that I can really remember that I thought made an impact on our girls, it was when they were all in high school. I think middle school and high school. They were probably 14, 15, and 18, and they're coming and going, and they had a bunch of sports that they were all doing, and they had, you know, they're girls. They also loved shoes. And the front entryway of our house would just get filled with 20 pairs of shoes. And my wife and I both would say, please take your shoes to your room. Well, but I'm going to go out right away. I don't care. And you tell us we can't wear our shoes on the carpet. Carry them to your room. Carry them down. Put them on. But they're right by the door. That's where we need. We don't want 25 pairs of shoes in the entryway. They're going to be, you know, we have friends that drop by. It just looks ridiculous. Just, and my wife even. We have a little laundry room between the garage and the house. And my wife even put in cabinets that had cubbies for shoes. But they always end up in the entryway in front of the front door. So one night, and usually my wife is the more of a disciplinarian. I'm fun dad. Just have fun with the kids. But I heard my wife earlier in the evening, will you guys get your shoes? It just went on and on and on every day. And it was pouring down rain, just a driving rainstorm. And all three girls were upstairs in their three bedrooms. And I yell up, too late, too late. You had your chance to come get your shoes. And I start throwing the shoes as far as I can out into the driving rainstorm, one at a time. No, got an armload in my left hand. I'm flinging them as far as I can into the rain with my right hand. Girls come running, Dad, those are suede. Dad, you can't do that. Yeah, I can. This is our mom and my entryway. We built this house. You can do what you want in your bedroom. You can put your shoes in your bedroom. Fling! Dad, stop it! Fling! And we didn't have shoes in the entryway again. So I was always very proud of that one. That one felt good as a parent. So this is my long way of asking the question. The kid in Arizona, parents gave away all of his stuff. For me, it was throwing girls' shoes out into the rain. How about you? Shoot me a text. Either one that your parents did or one that you've done with your kids. First text I see from the 360. Dory, please tell me more about your first world shoe problem. Oh, yeah. You have three daughters and then tell me that it's excessive. Oh, man. Okay, I'm just getting so many of these text messages from the 206. OMG, Dory, the shoes. I totally relate to this. Even my husband leaves his shoes out, and they're size 14. Yeah. I know. And honestly, I don't know if the shoes bothered me that much, but they bugged my wife. And she kept asking and asking and asking. And then finally, you know, you try to be a good partner to your spouse. And finally, I just said, okay, let's see if I can help the situation here. Okay, I'm going to love. Oh, everybody relates to the shoe thing. This is great. LOL at the shoes. Same thing in our house. One boy, one girl. Same exact thing. 26 pairs. Okay. I didn't realize that our shoe thing was going to be the common bond. It's with so many of you. So anyway, shoot me a text. Let me know what creative things you've done to correct behavior with your kids. The text number is 98973. That's 98973. All right, Sean, you ready to roll here, brother?
Totally.
Okay, it is time for today's cancel culture update.
This is your cancel culture update.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Let's start with Audi Automobiles. Audi has now pulled an insensitive ad that they were running featuring a girl eating a banana in front of a car. Audi has apologized for this ad, showing the young girl eating a banana in front of a premium car, admitting it was insensitive and promising not to use the image in the future. The advertisements for the Audi RS4, it was captioned, "Let's your heart beat faster in every aspect." But the image quickly drew criticism from people on social media, as some pointed out that the child stood in front of the car's grill, was in a dangerous position. One person commented, "Nice that you show how children can easily be killed by your cars. You can't even see them out of the car." Another Twitter user asked, "This is just tasteless. A child in front of the grill who is hardly visible from the driver's seat? What kind of advertising is this?" And then others said the image was sexually suggestive, with one person describing the image as a little girl with a phallic symbol in her hand. So Audi has now pulled the ad, and because of that, Audi, you have been
canceled.
Okay, cancel culture number two today. New study says that more and more children are finding it difficult to go out into nature. They find it distressing because it triggers their climate change anxieties. According to this brand new study by the University of Columbia and the British Ecological Society, while most children benefit from having time outdoors, for some youngsters, it's triggering those feelings of anxiety and despair due to fears over climate change. This is a first-of-its-kind study. I bet it is. What stupid thing should we try to foist on the people today? Within the past generation, children's lives have largely moved indoors with the loss of free-ranging exploration of the natural world. In response, a lot of children are uncomfortable with nature because their only exposure to it is their parents and teachers talking about the fear of climate change. And because you instill so much fear in children, Mother Nature, you have been
canceled.
Okay, and then finally, in our swirl around this lovely world of ours, celebrity couple Ryan Reynolds. Is he Burt Reynolds' son? Does anybody know? Nicole, You keep up on this sort of thing.
He is definitely not Reynolds' son.
He's too young.
Just another Reynolds.
Okay. Didn't Burt Reynolds have a son that was an actor? Are you pot? No, when you say he definitely is not.
I think he's.
You use that. No, you get me in so much trouble.
I do.
Because I'll ask you something. Oh, no, definitely not true. And then I'll text it to a friend. And then it turns out, no, it was true. You say definitely a lot when you're not definite.
Okay, I think that that is an exaggeration. But no, Burt Reynolds' son is Quentin Anderson Reynolds.
Well, yeah, Ryan Reynolds is definitely the heir to the Reynolds Company.
The Reynolds
Reynolds Wrap? Yeah.
He's an aluminum foil magnet?
Definitely.
Wait, definitely as in you know that for sure?
Oh, I was just doing an impersonation of Nicole.
Oh, I don't believe that's right.
Okay, anyway, let me get to the cancel story here. So celebrity couple Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, they are now issuing an apology. They say they are devastated that they held their 2012 wedding at a former plantation in South Carolina. They say that because of all the hurt that has been caused by them having their wedding at a South Carolina plantation. Who's hurt by that?
Did you hear also that it was the plantation that was used in The Notebook, the movie The Notebook?
I did see that. Yeah. So it had a
cool
movie
place.
History.
Yeah.
Who was hurt by that?
I have no idea.
All the pain that it's caused. But they said that because of this, they are going to increase their donations to certain charities to buy out their guilt. Reynolds said he and Blake Lively were gutted when they realized what they had done. The wedding locale is something we'll always be deeply and unreservedly sorry for. It's impossible to reconcile. What we saw at the time was a wedding venue on Pinterest. What we saw after was a place built upon devastating tragedy. So they say they're now giving $250,000 to the NAACP, and they're going to give $1 million to a group for immigrant children's rights. I don't care if you're donating that money. You got married on a plantation. Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, you are
freaking canceled.
All right,
you know,
wrap
another
this baby
fun fact.
Up here. Oh, yeah. Give me one more, please.
Well, just because it has to do with those two. So they hadn't revealed the name of their daughter, who's 9 months, I think. And Taylor Swift just announced that she's revealing the name of their daughter with the new track in her album, Betty.
Crying out loud. I can't keep up with pop culture anymore.
Anyway.
I used to be so good at it. All right, Sean, take us home.
This has been a Cancel Culture Update. Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
A special feature of our Fastest 15. That is your Fastest 15. We're going to check the news for you. And then, you know, we've seen armed citizens protect Carmen Bessome up in Snohomish County. It kind of started with a bunch of guys who brought their rifles to protect businesses in Kirkland. And one of those guys has a fascinating story, as you will hear, coming up next on The Dory Monson Show. As we've talked about a lot this week, some armed neighbors protected Carmen Best's home up in Snohomish County when some domestic terrorists were trying to go and influence her mind. And this really started around here a couple of months ago when we had the widespread rioting and a bunch of people with their weapons went down to protect businesses in Kirkland. And in fact, this guy told Q13's Matt Lorch something about his gun. And I consider this to be one of the lines of the year so far.
I heard that there was going to be a protest here. I saw what happened in Bellevue.
Are you worried at all that you may escalate the violence by having a rifle around your shoulder?
That is an interesting question. Only somebody that doesn't understand guns will say that. How is this escalating the situation? This is de-escalation. If I had a name for this gun, it would be de-escalator.
And the man who said those words about his de-escalator is Jed Darland, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Jed, it's good to talk with you.
Hey, Dory. Thanks, man. I want to thank you for playing the de-escalator clip as your awesome audio of the week.
Yes,
I told Nicole. I told Nicole, you made me blush because the president, when I listened to it, the president was number two, and the de-escalator clip made it to number one. So thank you for that.
It's not easy to beat Trump because he'll say some crazy things sometimes. Easy to do, Jed. No, I think you have a shot. When I count down the best audio of the year, you're going to be in the running because I love
that. That'll be great. You know, Dory, what your audience might not know is that day, June 1st in Kirkland.
Yes.
The Kirkland police pulled over several out of area vehicles that had bricks, rocks, and containers of gasoline in their trunk. They were going to destroy downtown Kirkland. And beyond that, a local business owner overheard one of the Antifa scouts on the phone canceling the riots in Kirkland due to the presence of, quote, too many armed citizens.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny when you read some of the comments on social media. I don't know why they needed to bring their guns to a peaceful protest. There wasn't even any rioting or looting. I mean, come on. they didn't understand that it was because we were down there with our de-escalators.
Right.
and then most of us went back the next day and we hung out downtown concealed carrying just because Kirkland PD had credible intel that Antifa was scheduled to return on Tuesday. However, Cairo 7 News mentioned that armed citizens would return the next day as we were still there when they went live at 11 o'clock and Antifa never showed.
Wow. Well, and that's why I wanted to talk with you, Jed, because we are seeing, and this is at some point, this isn't going to end well, because I fully support your right to defend yourself, your neighbors, your being escalate into something nasty, aren't we? I mean, do you think we're going to stay at some equilibrium right now where we have these rioters and domestic terrorists and armed citizens? And do you think we're just going to have a point where everything is going to stay like it is, or are things going to get uglier?
Well, they're talking about defunding the Seattle Police Department, which is absolutely insane. And I think as the election gets closer, Dory, you're right. I think things are going to escalate. You know, the radical left progressives that are part of the Democrat Party, I mean, they're all voting for Democrats. The ones that will actually show up at the polls.
Yeah.
These guys are becoming unhinged. And I think as the election gets closer, it is going to ramp up. And after Trump wins presidency, they're going to go ballistic. They're going to go ballistic.
Yeah. If that happens, you know, he's an underdog now. You think he's going to win?
Well, didn't the polls say that there was a 98% chance that Hillary Clinton was going to win the presidency? So I think we know what's going on. And there's a lot of stuff that the news isn't telling us, Dory. But a good example, I told Nicole when she called, you know, right before Independence Day, we planted the MAGA flowers garden.
That was so, you. I talked about that on the show, and I didn't know that was you.
Can you believe I'm just popping up everywhere these days, Dory?
You are. Just to recap, you planted flowers to form the letters MAGA. So you have a MAGA garden in your yard, and then people started driving up into your flower bed and driving over them. Is that right?
Yeah, one guy did in his Range Rover. That's a funny story. But, right before Independence Day, we planted 100 beautiful red petunias. And just like you said, they spell out MAGA. Now, it's in the public green space between the sidewalk and the road in front of our house. Mm-hmm. Kirkland Municipal Code requires the homeowner to take care of that space. In fact, if you don't, you get fined.
Okay.
But 7 hours after a picture of the garden appeared on a local Facebook group implying that it was illegally planted, vandalism to the garden began. But we had started a GoFundMe to keep the garden great. And now the MAGA Flowers garden has a Twitter handle at MAGA_flowers, where you can see these far left vandals in action. And trust me, Dory, there is much more exciting content than just people driving over the flowers.
Okay.
you can see the day in the life of a Trump supporter who shows support for their president at their home. But don't worry, Dory. There are warnings for content that's not safe for work or for children.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, what's interesting about that to me, Jed, is politicians can grab buckets of paint and they can go paint Black Lives Matter in the middle of a public street with no permit. If anybody else wanted to paint a different political message in the street, they will be fined and arrested for doing exactly what the politicians are doing. If you, you know, paint your or arrange your flowers to say MAGA, you're going to have people defecating on them and driving over them because it's just this intolerance where they will give political and legal cover if someone's message is deemed properly leftist by government. Mm-hmm. But, man, mm-hmm. if you stray from the groupthink, they will try to destroy you.
It is so funny that you mentioned that, Dory, because if you go to the MAGA Flowers Twitter today, it may be the funniest thing you've ever seen. We've highlighted the point you just made. And it's just, they say, it's just art, right? It's just art. So we just actually posted something last night. It's going to make, it's going to, maybe you're going to have to take a break and go to a commercial break when you see it. But so,
tell me what's the Twitter handle again?
It's MAGA_flowers. It's
okay.
The MAGA Flowers are on Twitter. You can't miss it. But we've been up to so much more. So in July, we added one blue flower to the MAGA Flowers garden in honor of Officer Shoup, the Bothell Police Department, whose watch ended on the 13th of July.
Yes.
That hit us really hard, even though I didn't know Officer Shoup. He was a young guy. And, you know, I love all of our police officers and appreciate their service. They are much more brave than you or me, Dory. They leave their house every day and they put themselves in harm's way. I don't care if it's just Kirkland or Bothell. I mean, this stuff is coming to our front doors. So while they were in the process of setting up their official memorial fund, we raised over $3,500 with the help of the local businesses who appreciated our presence during the protest. And now your listeners can go directly to the official donation page. It's MillCreekPoliceFoundation.com, and they can donate to Officer Shoup's memorial fund, and that money will go directly to his family.
His family. That's wonderful.
And when we did that, we also donated dozens of toys to the Bothell Police Department for them to carry around in their cruisers. And because it was so well received, we recently held a toy drive for the Kirkland Police Department where we just dropped off dozens of toys this week. And those toys are super important for officers to have when they arrive on the scene and there is a child involved. And Dory, as I'm telling you that right now, it gives me goosebumps every time I say that. Because
that's very cool.
As brave as our officers are, there is nothing better than a toy for a child in a very nervous, anxious situation.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, tell you what, Jed, let's stay in touch because between the de-escalator and the MAGA flowers and the philanthropy, you're a very interesting guy. Yeah. So I want to stay in touch with you, okay?
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And okay. And I'll encourage everyone to go to MAGA_flowers at MAGA_flowers on Twitter. And you can see the horticultural side of Jed. All right. Hey,
absolutely.
Jed, it's good talking with you. I appreciate you coming on with me today.
All right. Thanks, Dory.
Okay. Jed Darlin joining us over there in Kirkland. Send me a text, which you just heard. Give me your thoughts, 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. the Fast 15, I was asking what creative punishments you've used as a parent. One person said their daughter always would slam her bedroom door. So he took the bedroom door off the hinges. I've heard that from a few parents, that if you're worried about your kid getting into some dangerous stuff, that you take the door off their bedrooms. We did. It seems so weird today when electronics are so ubiquitous. But when we first got a computer, when our girls were little, we had, you know, time limits on it. It was in a family room, central location. When they first got phones, they couldn't bring the phones up to the bedroom. And now, I assume most of us sleep with our phone right next to the bed. I know I do. I keep my charger right next to the bed, and then I wake up. I wake up, you know, at my age, I wake up a couple times in the middle of the night. But I always check the news and make sure that there isn't any breaking news going on, which means you're never truly relaxing. And I know it's not healthy. And I know that if I didn't check my phone, the news will still be waiting for me to disseminate for the radio show when I get up the next morning. Another person from the 425. Dory, when my brother flipped someone off, my mom duct taped his middle finger down for a week? What? How do you duct tape it down? Like it's bent? Didn't you do permanent damage for that? For crying out loud? My mom used to toss my boy's shoes under her van in the carport when they left them in front of the kitchen door. So that's good. It's shoes are seem to be the common thread here. That was the story I started telling. As a single dad, the greatest punishment I could give my daughter was to threaten her with having to go to her mom's house for the weekend. Ooh, there might be some bad blood between those two. Okay, so anyway, I love all of the stories. I'm still sifting through them. There were so many of them. This is one I've heard a lot, and this is one my wife has done also. Dory, I used to put the dirty dishes on my daughter's bed because they never put them in the dishwasher. That's from the 206. Yes! That one is so good. Because, and understand, I grew up in poverty. We never had a dishwasher. We hand washed every dish, every bit of our dishes. But then you have kids who have a little more, you know, material wealth. They can't open a dishwasher and put it inside. They put it on the counter. They put it in the sink. And yes, there have been a few times when my wife would have like a little tub, a little plastic tub, and she would just load all the dishes in that and carry it up to their room and then dump them on the bed. Then they'd have to wash their own bedclothes too. Why is it so tough to put things in shoes in your room and dishes in the dishwasher? Check the news and then the big lead to two next.